Lord Mawson, Lords, ladies and gentlemen, may I say thank you very, very much indeed for the kind invitation to speak at the CPS's Fringe event here. It's a real honour, especially to be on the same table with Mawson. So thank you very much indeed. It's deeply appreciated. I hope you'll forgive me if I start by speaking rather bluntly. I'm absolutely amazed that the Conservatives, above all others, have been tempted to fall for the hubristic idea that we can control climate predictably, and I will return to that word predictably, by big government, by taxes that are injurious to industry and to business, by taxes which are retrogressive on the poor, and by attempting to micromanage every single aspect of people's lives. Policies which stand 100% against those on which the CPS itself was founded by Keith Jones and Margaret Thatcher. It is a very serious issue, global warming, but it's politically serious, not scientifically serious. I fear that Conservatives, above all, have, for the last 2 or 3 years, been walking blindly into a socialist elephant trap. Not indeed of their own making, but one that has been there. Because what global warming is distinct from climate change, and I'm going to make a very clear distinction between the two, what global warming is distinct from climate change is all about is anti-trade, anti-growth, anti-development, anti-car, anti-transport, anti-America, anti-everything fundamentally that has enabled the society to become a modern working society. It is therefore not only damaging for the developed world, but especially damaging for the developing world. And its principles are fundamentally socialistic if you think about it at heart. And I entitle my little talk for myself, Is Global Warming Socialist Science? Because it is. For having lost Marxism, there is a whole swathe of people out there who are desperate to have some reason to micromanage your and my life. From what light bulb we use, right the way to down what car we choose, to whether we switch off our television sets. It is dangerous, dangerous nonsense. I also worry that Conservatives may have become frightened of change itself. After all, over the last 1,000 years alone, from the warmer medieval period to the massive ups and downs of the Little Ice Age from the 14th century right the way through to the 19th century, change is the norm, and it has continued to be so. Climate, as I will say a little later, is change. That is what it is. We mustn't become frightened of it. And the idea that the change now is faster than it has ever been is absolute nonsense. From the late 1690s to 1733, we know from the Central England record of temperature that there was a climate change of over 3 degrees C in that period of only 40 years. My, how the Independent would have cried wolf on its front page. We've forgotten that change, but we've also forgotten something more important. In 1973, environmentalists seriously predicted the end of much of the world, especially the United States, the aged enemy even then, through global cooling. On that first Earth Day, they predicted, remember this, don't forget it, it's vital. They predicted that the population of the United States of America would collapse, and would collapse to 22 million. They predicted that the average intake, and this is actually gross in more ways than one now, that they predicted that the average intake of the average American would fall to 2,400 calories. Would that it had. We have been dangerously, dangerously wrong about climate change in the past, recent past. How certain, therefore, are we not very dangerously wrong now? Because global warming is politics. It isn't fundamentally science. Global warming is, if I may use an academic term, a great example of a grand narrative. Like a religion, like Marxism, it is a grand political narrative. And like all grand political narratives, its fundamental aim is to exclude exactly, as Norman said, all debate. And can I say one thing then immediately about science? The last thing science is about is consensus. If we'd have had consensus science, we'd have had eugenics at the beginning of the 20th century. That is not how science functions. It finds critically always at the edge, always questioning. And to close it down would be really a sin. But let's just focus for a moment on the science rather than the politics. Climate is the most complex, coupled, non-linear system known to humanity. It's Blackpool on a Saturday night or during a Tory party conference. It's total chaos. And the idea that we can control such a system by managing one small selected factor at the margins is such scientific nonsense that it is absolutely extraordinary that we've got to the position that we have. It's not about is science claiming it's changing, of course, is climate changing? Of course it's changing. It's been changing since some primeval Nigella Lawson was stirring the primordial soup 4.5 million years ago. Climate is changing. In fact, what would be scientifically interesting is if it weren't changing. It's not even about whether humans affect climate. We've been affecting climate since the first Jeremy Clarkson set fire to the African savannah 1 million years ago. Putting up gases, particulates, all sorts of things. And note, it's not just about CO2, it's about all sorts of human effects. Above all, I might add, how we change and alter the albedo, the landscape of the surface of the Earth. We know very little about a lot of that, let me emphasize. So those two questions, is climate changing, do humans have an influence, are actually questions that to answer is yes and yes and let's not bother. There is only one fundamental scientific question, and it's the one nobody wants you to hear. Can we manage climate change, and I come back to that key word, predictably, by changing at the margins one single factor? Now, I don't think it needs me to say anything to that. The answer is, of course, absolutely 100% no. In fact, in so complex and difficult a system, doing something at the margins with one factor and not doing something at the margins with one factor are equally unpredictable. In fact, we may produce something worse. What climate are our politicians actually hoping to produce? Do they want to plunge us back to 1947 when oceans froze over and many people died through absolute cold? I wonder. The temperature rise since 1880s, we rise out of the little ice ages, 0.7 degrees plus or minus 0.2 degrees C, and some of us would say, thank goodness. What are they going to produce? And the trouble is, when they actually get to it, what will happen? It will change. It will actually change. But let's just stand back a moment from the hubris, the political hubris of this. We are having politicians telling us and arguing as to whether they control a temperature rise in our climate of 2 degrees C or 3 degrees C. Remember the battle between Blair and Merkel? It's like I'm a get you gone. Anything you can do, I can do better. And it is dangerous nonsense. What then does this actually mean politically, and especially for the Conservative Party here? It means the quicker you escape from that poo and piglet heffalump trap of a socialist making, the better. The more you return to your core values, indeed core values, of entrepreneurship, drive and enterprise in the face of change. Because the way, of course, that we humans have always coped with climate change is through adaptability. Not sustainable economies, but flexible economies. Economies that can actually adapt to whatever's thrown at it. Hot, wet, dry, cold, which have the power to help the poor as well as the rich. So many of the policies that are being proposed will actually damage growth, damage the ability to do this. They are therefore intrinsically dangerous. They're trying to undermine what has been achieved in Britain over the last 30 to 40 to 50 years. But above all, They hide the reality of facing up to the fact that the real problem is not climate change, it is energy, and a serious energy gap. In Britain, we have a potentially serious energy gap of between 30 to 40% that no amount of wind and wave and wobble will fill. And we need an adult party in this country now, and that's what I'm calling for today, an adult party. An adult party that doesn't try to run us by the ideas and thoughts of Trustafarians and of Sunday colour supplement writers, who don't tell us we'll save the world by rejecting our plasma TVs and wearing hemp underpants. What we want is an adult party. A party that will face up to a genuine energy crisis, will tell the British public honestly about that, will point out that the ability that we have to actually manage climate is virtually non-existent, and in Britain, absolutely non-existent. Can I just reiterate the fact people hate it, but it's true. Britain accounts for 2% of world energy. That will fall to 1.4% of world energy by 2020. Whatever we do in Britain, and it's not even arguable, will have no direct, predictable effect on climate whatsoever. And if a politician tells you it will, they are not telling you the truth. It won't. It will have no effect at all. So we need honest, straight politics. Brave politics too. Politics which actually go back to the values that this party stood for. A policy that tells actually what is the reality of things, not trying to live in the kindergarten where this is concerned. That is what we need to call for. But above all, what we need as well is a wider view of this, a wider view of the environment that isn't completely now dominated by climate. The consequences of the domination of the climate agenda are themselves dangerous. Now, I'm only going to give you two examples before I come to a finish. All the drive now to replace light bulbs. Has it dawned on people that the light bulbs contain mercury? In other words, how are you going to recycle that mercury? What energy will be used in the recycling of that mercury when you're faced with a billion low-energy bulbs? Where will you recycle? You ask your council how you recycle low-energy bulbs. They're actually dangerous to break. Did you know that? What about the flashing effect in epileptics? What about the fact that over 50% of current electrical installation won't work with them, especially if they're dimmer switches and especially if they're security? Nobody tells you that. But it's an EU policy. And what about the biofuels issue? Unintended consequences of a policy that is now overarching. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll end with saying this. Global warming is indeed dangerous, but it's the politics that are dangerous. The politics of intolerance, the politics of unintended consequences, and the policies that are actually taking away from the things we should speak morally for. Janet Taylor gave a brilliant piece in the Daily Telegraph when she said the Conservative Party must now not talk the morality of that socialist elephant trap, but talk the real morality of bringing people out of poverty, giving people opportunities, entrepreneurship, drive, and initiative. The more we pursue the global warming plan, the more dangerous I'm afraid it is. We adult approach to this, which will actually challenge the liberals, challenge Labour, challenge in fact much of the world view of the world, and say yes, the question is not climate change, of course climate is changing, but it's how you actually cope with it. And the ways of being presented are not the place to go. Thank you very much.